This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's going to be such a good hour. I'm going to talk just briefly for a moment about a little world event that hopefully won't require the U.S. military, but I don't know. We'll get to that in a couple minutes, and as you know, 10 minutes from now, the semifinals.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between India and Somalia. Brought to you by Twin City Septic. Paint the town brown.
All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But let me ask you, what is... As far as major powers go, what is the most experienced military on the planet right now? Major powers. I'm not talking about history or anything else. Major powers. What is the military? What's the country? Russia. The answer is Russia. Russia has been fighting an awful artillery drone war for years in Ukraine. Now, the reason I said major powers is you could easily say, well, Ukraine is too. Yeah, but they've been losing. I mean, they've got 50-year-olds in uniform. The Russians still have a bunch of young men. Their equipment is getting better. Their tactics are getting better. Russia knows more about fighting a war in the year 2025 than any other country on the planet. That's not me saying Russia's better than us. They certainly are not. And that's not me saying we can't learn. We can. But it takes time in war to get up to speed. Did you know part of the reason why the beginning of World War II went so poorly for us? This is something we don't talk about a lot, but you know why we had all those losses? Navy losses? Land losses? Our leadership sucked. We had a peacetime military leadership. They weren't ready. They weren't equipped. And so it took time to fire all the necessary generals and admirals and replace them with people who were capable. And eventually we did, and we won, and all that was good. So let's go to China. China wants Taiwan. Here, I need to clarify. There is a situation in China that I need to clarify, and I know you don't necessarily care about China, and neither do I, but this may apply to us, so we have to discuss it. There's a situation. Xi Jinping is the head of the Communist Party. You already know this. But because we're not there, we oftentimes, unless we're studying it, we don't know the political stability situation. If you had asked me, even a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, hey, how's Xi Jinping's hold on power? I hadn't done that much research into it. You know, I'm more of an ugly American. I would have said, oh, I mean, he rules with an iron fist. He's a dictator. Kind of. There are other very powerful families in the Communist Party who hate him. He has killed their relatives, their fathers, their grandfathers. There are generals inside of the Chinese army that are unhappy with him. Their economy is on the brink. If you listen to people, it is on the brink. They have spent way too much money. They are buried in debt. They have, obviously, you know how many people, China's famous for how many people they have. They got 1 billion people over there. They can't afford 25% unemployment, or there's going to be a revolution of angry Chinamen, and Xi Jinping is going to be out and probably dead the way they handle things over there. He is in a very dangerous situation, as almost all communist dictators always are. Remember, Stalin is thought of as someone who ruled absolutely. Stalin always thought he was going to get overthrown and assassinated. He thought another dirty commie was going to take him out, because that's what they do. But by the way, there's a lot of people who believe another commie did. But anyway, that's another story. So Xi Jinping has a situation. He wants Taiwan. In part, he thinks he needs Taiwan, meaning it's not just that he wants it. China has always thought it belongs to them. We won't let them have it, but they've always thought it belongs to them. That's why even on their maps, it's not called Taiwan, right? It's just part of China. He wants it. He also might need it, meaning he needs a win. He needs a political win over there. But there's another part. What if he struggles to get it? What if he decides he wants to take Taiwan? Because he can take Taiwan. But what if Taiwan puts up a little bit of a fight? Remember, we ship Taiwan things they need to defend themselves. What if Taiwan puts up a bit of a fight? What if China takes a loss here, a loss there? He might be in trouble. Now, back to Russia. Here's a headline for you. How Russia is helping China prepare to seize Taiwan. This is about airdropping armored vehicles and things like that. Again, stuff Russia has had to learn the hard way over the last few years. China, they have not. Russia knows. China doesn't. I am not saying there's about to be a war with Taiwan, and I'm not saying you have to stress about it. We got enough of our own problems here. But if there is, if Xi Jinping decides his power, maybe his life, requires him to take Taiwan, the chances the United States military is going to get involved in some way, they're pretty strong. Trump's not going to stand by and let it happen. Our policy towards China taking Taiwan has always been very, very fuzzy on purpose. All of our politicians will talk out of both sides of their mouths. Well, yes, militarily, we'll step in and defend them. Well, I'm not really sure. We have a great relationship with China. So no one exactly knows what our policy is, including China. But I think it would be naive to think Donald Trump would sit back and let China do it. Now, we just had a long, hour-long talk about the shape of the military. It gets a little more real when you consider there's a chance our military would have to go around the world and possibly take on a combined military of Russia and Chinese soldiers. It gets more real when you think about your son, or sadly, your daughter, in the South China Sea on a Navy ship with a hypersonic missile coming her way. It gets real, doesn't it? It gets real. And it gets real, real fast. Just wanted to drive that point home. And, you know, I forgot to tease this. Next hour, about halfway through next hour, I am going to bring on a friend of mine. He's a merchant marine captain. His name is John Conrad. Very sharp guy. Merchant marine captain. You know how we've talked a lot about firefighting on a ship? It just always comes up, especially when you discuss World War II, because it was so necessary with these huge naval battles, especially against Japan. Ships are burning, kamikazes. You're trying to put out fires. It's a nightmare. He has, not in World War II, but he has had to fight fires, big, scary ones, on ships in the middle of the ocean. And I'm going to ask him about that. We're going to talk about that. It's something to think about. And it also drives home why we need a retrofitted military that is prepped and ready to go. All right, enough of that. It's a good day in a lot of ways. A really, really, really good day.
If there is a shutdown, how many federal workers do you plan to lay off?
Well, we may do a lot, and that's only because of the Democrats.
Yes, yes. I think we're going to get a bunch of fired federal employees. And Democrats are in a very serious situation when it comes to the shutdown. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but their situation is they need a political win. So they kind of need a shutdown to show that they're taking it to Trump. Hey, illegals, we're trying to get you your money. They kind of need that win. Make Trump look bad, make Republicans look bad. But Trump has already said, it's been well documented by now, he's going to not lay off, not suspend. He's going to use a shutdown as an opportunity to fire government employees en masse. Who do you think he's going to fire? He's going to clean out the most committed communists he can find from the government. Communist infiltrators who've been worming their way into those positions for years. You could almost look at it as a massive mole hunt. I don't know that I've ever been as excited for anything politically as I am about the idea of the government shutting down. Yes! Shut it down! Shut it down! Yes! Also, get yourself some chalk. Maybe that's part of why I'm excited. Maybe that's why I'm in a good mood. Me, male vitality stack Jesse, testosterone stacked Jesse. Do you want to join me? Yeah, and ladies too. You know, I have women, senior citizens, emailing me, telling me this female vitality stack is the best thing I've ever done. I am so full of energy. I am not run down like I used to be. This is about you and your life. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to try it. And if it doesn't work, promise me that you will cancel your subscription. I don't want you to waste your money. I don't want you to spend it on anything that doesn't work for you. Give it 90 days, a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. If you don't feel it, and you will, cancel it. And that's it. Try it, though. Try it. You don't know what you're missing out on. C-H-O-Q. Chuck.com/Jesse. Chuck.com/Jesse. Crappiest country in the world. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we're going to get to something. Actually, Don Lemon, of all people, said we'll get to the FBI. We're going to get to Patsy's emails. But we don't have time for that right now. We have to tackle bigger issues. It is the semis. It is the semifinals. It's been a long, brutal slog of a tournament. But we owe it to America. You, me. We owe it to the world to figure out what is the crappiest country. And because this is semifinals, and you've already heard all the horrible facts about these horrible countries over and over and over again, I'm not going to play the whole fact bit that we did before. We have a severely trimmed down version of each country. And then what we're going to do is you, me, we're going to make a personal decision. Where would we spend a week? Now, what is the matchup tonight?
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between India and Somalia. Brought to you by Twin City Septic. Paint the town brown.
So, let's meet our first contender. Our first contender that I don't know that they were worthy of the semis. It was your voting that brought them to the semis. And look, the way you've been voting, they might win it all. India.
Tourists get raped all the time. Wives are routinely raped by their husbands in India. Children are routinely raped in India. How many? 153 million girls and 73 million boys have been raped in India. It happens by gangs. It happens at night. It, by all appearances, is the rapiest country on the planet. On top of the rape, the country is most famous for being absolutely filthy in every possible way. There's trash everywhere, but it's not only garbage, you see. It's poop. It's pee. Not just animal poop and pee. human poop and pee all over the streets. The entire country apparently is like San Francisco.
So that's not good. India. But tournament favorite, I would say, Somalia is going to be a tough nut to crack.
Terrorism is a little bit deeper and more embedded in Somalia. We're talking car bombs, suicide vests. That Subaru Outback might not be driven by a lesbian, might actually be driven by a Muslim extremist. Somalia also mixes in a healthy dose of piracy, which is well known by now. Female genital mutilation might be the most disgusting practice I have ever heard about. Just know it's actually worse than you imagine. 70% of Somalia lives in extreme poverty. The country is run by warlords and terrorists. The only good news I have out of Somalia is so many of the bad people have left Somalia. Of course, the bad news is they're all now in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they're all in Minneapolis and they're members of Congress.
It is a tragedy that Charlie Kirk was killed in that way. But there is no legacy to honor. It was a legacy filled.
Yeah, despicable demon. All right. Here's how I want to try to picture this, because it's hard to handicap this. We have to spend a week there. You're not poor, but you're not rich. You've got some walking around money, but there's not going to be private security for you or me. If you got to go somewhere, you got to cab it. You're going to have to stay at a hotel. It doesn't have to be a rundown hotel. It can be something, you know, nice, like a Best Western, but not five star. A week in India. I feel like I could do a week in India. I don't want to. I have no desire to visit. Part of that is because I despise curry. I just hate Indian food. And part of it is because, as I said earlier, I've had many friends who've been there, and they say it's just awful, and it smells so bad. It smells so terrible. But there are at least some beautiful landmarks, some beautiful countryside in India. I like elephants. There are some famous Indians of note that we should all acknowledge, people like Gandhi and Sitting Bull. And I don't think you can say the same for Somalia, even with walking around money, even with the Best Western. What is there to see? Where are you going? It's not as if there's a single site you can take in. In fact, you can't name a single Somali of note. And in my opinion, that is the difference. But it's not just my opinion, of course, because as you're well aware, I am a man of the people. I'm a man of the people. And you didn't think this contest was that close. Somalia stomped India in your voting, and I definitely can't overrule you here. India, I am sorry. I want you to know you made a great run at it. I know that you know your effort was worthy, but as in all things, this is how it goes in sports, in competition, in life. Just because you think you're the nastiest, dirtiest, crappiest country on the earth, that doesn't mean there's not a place that's nastier and crappier and dirtier. And it's just going to be very, very difficult to bounce Somalia out of this tournament. Now, I will say the other two countries who are going to square off, the next semifinal match, our final semifinal match, is North Korea versus Haiti. I like both of their chances against Somalia. I'm not going to say they will beat Somalia, but they're certainly both worthy. But for now, we have to acknowledge Somalia emerges from the Final Four, and they're going to be playing for a title. So congratulations. Now, we talk often, you and me, about the world of make-believe. Ob, my wife, she got a message from one of her relatives who's very upset with me. I'm going to read it for you next, and it is amazing in every way. Before I read it to you, I want you to know we made a decision right before the tournament today. We decided whoever wins the tournament is going to get a little packet of Relief Factor. Because, look, imagine the pain in these countries. Imagine the...
But imagine the daily chronic pain you must go through if you're in Somalia. Oh, no, is that a bug bite? Nope, it's a terrorist shell. Oh, no, it's some kind of poisonous snake. It's a black mamba. It's just a constant life of pain. You don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. And even Somalis don't want to live like that. And Relief Factor is here to take away everybody's pain. They're not ugly Americans like me. They want everybody to be pain-free. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks for the daily pain in your life. A three-week quick start is $19.95. It's drug-free. It's a supplement. Try it, and you will have a better life. ReliefFactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. You're going to love this message. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, all right, I shouldn't laugh, but I am laughing, and I'm going to have a hard time not laughing as I try to get through this, but I need to explain the situation. Democrats live in a world of make-believe, as we've discussed. And this is not just a few kooks. The average Democrat believes, wow, that was a really bad slip of the tongue there. The average Democrat believes a lot of things that simply are not real. They're black and white, not real. The average Democrat believes Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. The average Democrat believes Donald Trump told people to inject bleach. The average Democrat believes George Floyd died of an overdose, that a bunch of things that are just simply factually incorrect. Therefore, I'm not being insulting, they are insane. Most Democrats are insane as the guy who believes he can fly. And it's because of the world of make-believe that is constructed for them by the military and Democrat politicians. It just is, all right? Now, the result of that, downstream of that, is they are desperate, bitter, and angry about things that aren't real. You know, obviously, who Megyn Kelly is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. Famous journalist Megyn Kelly. She has a Megyn Kelly show. She's a friend of mine. She is doing one of those speaking tours. You know, people do this, a bunch of different cities, and they'll have guests. And I've told you already that she's doing one here in the Houston area. It's in Sugar Land, Texas, on October 23rd. And I'm one of her guests. It's me and Donald Trump Jr. Okay. So Ob on social media just puts it out there. I think she just put up the poster or something like that and says, hey, I think it was on her Twitter account or something like that. Hey, Jesse's doing this thing. I'm excited. It's something like that. All right. One of her relatives, and I'm not going to say who, I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to say how close the relation is. Just one of her relatives, in response to just the poster going up. You know, Ob didn't take some strong political stance. It was just Jesse's going to be speaking with Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump Jr. Promptly sent her a message. And I'm going to read for you the message verbatim now. I'll beep out the names myself, but this is the message. I'm sorry, but really, you? I understand you can't help who you love and all the bull beep they do, but you? Seriously? You are all up in this MAGA beep too? I don't know why I'm so disappointed or bothered. I guess I just thought I knew you. And actually, pause on this. I'm done with the beeps. From now on, it's going to be this when there's a potty word. I guess I just thought I knew you, which is stupid, right? I just thought you were different from that. I hope that while you're at your little Nazi pride get-together, you keep in mind that this administration is directly responsible for killing my father, who believed Donald Trump and Fox News when they said COVID was a hoax, just like the flu. By the way, that's not why the guy died. He got COVID. He went to the hospital. They put him on a ventilator. And as everyone knows, that ended up killing a lot of people. But again, facts don't matter. I hope that you know they're trying to erase my community of LGBTQA people. For the love of God, I pray that you understand that if they have their way, my honest, wonderful husband would be exiled to a country he wasn't even born in. Please listen to what is being said as if you are not white, straight, and indoctrinated into some cult. You are better than this. I believe that. That is from a relative in response to a poster saying I'm speaking somewhere with Megyn Kelly. I know that you have, well, I hope you don't, but I bet you do have a Democrat in your life. Maybe it's on social media, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's at work. And I know, as I read that little thing there, you were not shocked, were you? Because you can picture the Democrat in your life speaking in exactly this way. This is a tough place to be as a country. We're going to get to some emails here. But we do have to remember, these people are all around us. And yes, they've been lied to, obviously. And the lies have led to a mental brokenness. Something has broken inside of them, but wow. Wow, that is something. Jesse, you are correct. The stiffest punishments need to be reserved for corrupt government officials. There should be a separate court like there is for the military for government officials. Hey, Chris, do you have that Quiet Skies thing I messaged you? Along these same lines, there was testimony today in front of Congress about punishments for government officials. And we talked earlier in the show, we've talked a lot about what communists do with power. I want you to listen to every word of this. Listen to what the communists did in the government when Joe Biden was president, and tell me there shouldn't be some sort of military tribunal for everybody involved.
Ms. Lobosco contacted us at Empower Oversight again in the beginning of August 2024, when air marshals wanted to blow the whistle on another disturbing case, the political targeting of Tulsi Gabbard through TSA's Quiet Skies program. The facts were alarming. Ms. Gabbard was added on July 23rd, 2024, just one day after she made statements to Laura Ingraham on Fox News, critical of Vice President Kamala Harris, who had just become the presumptive Democratic Party presidential nominee. Rather than using her passport photo as required, TSA officials used her official congressional photo, making clear that they knew exactly who she was. These initial whistleblower disclosures were reported by Wendy Strauss Mahoney on Uncover DC and digitally on the Brianna Morello Show. Despite Empower's experience with the DHSIG failing to investigate the Crowder situation, we asked them to investigate here, and we also submitted disclosures to Congress. Members of this committee and others pressed DHS for answers. And your persistence, Chairman Paul, helped ensure Secretary Noem became aware of the Quiet Skies program and ended it.
Tulsi Gabbard went on Fox News, and she insulted Kamala Harris. The next day, the TSA put her on a terrorist watch list program where they then followed her every time she got on a plane. It's not only Tulsi Gabbard. They did this to January Sixers. They did this to private citizens. These communists inside of the federal government treated every single agency as if it was a sword they could use against their political opponents. These are deeply evil acts, And the people who committed these crimes don't need to be fired. They don't need resignations. These people have to be tried and sent to prison. These are crimes against the United States of America. These are high crimes. I would actually venture to say a brand new, horrific prison, possibly a labor camp, should be built for people inside of the government who commit crimes like this. And I'm not even exaggerating a little bit. You should spend the rest of your life taking big rocks and turning them into little rocks with a sledgehammer. If it occurs to you to put your political opponents on a terrorist watch list because they said something negative about you on Fox News, that is as evil as Joseph Stalin, and that took place inside your country and mine. It doesn't get more serious than that. All right, do some more emails next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. Did you see how I did that, Chris? I started talking right when they did the dee-dee-dee beat, like the stop thing in the music. What, Chris? I did it. I did that on purpose because I'm a bit of a showman, right? Don't roll your eyes. I am. I'm a bit of a showman. Oh, FBI January 6th report sets off a firestorm. Why did it take 56 months to disclose 274 agents at the Capitol? Because Jesse told you what they were doing with all that time as soon as Donald Trump got elected. They were burning and shredding everything they could and burying everything as deep as they possibly could so we would never find out just how soulless and evil the monsters inside the FBI are. Hey, Jesse, 6 weeks ago, I spoke to customer service at a large grocery store about their security. I told them I felt vulnerable in their parking lot after dark because none of their numerous security guards ever watch the lot. Instead, they're busy chatting with each other, staring at their phones, or ignoring thieves who don't pay. Customer service got defensive. They blamed the security company. So I went into my New Yorker mode and got in their faces. A week later, I returned to find security guards everywhere doing their jobs, but it didn't last. Security's back to screwing around, so it might take multiple tries. Do you ever wonder if bored people secretly wish something bad would happen so they could get on the news? I'm here to tell you that bored security guards spend a lot of time daydreaming about something bad happened so they could actually get a little action, because I was that guy so many times. In the Marines, you are always on fire, standing guard. You're standing guard on something at all times. There always have to be guards here and guards there. Even when everyone's asleep, they have to post a fire watch. And it could be, by the way, it could be two of you, which is brutal. Someone has to be awake at all times. That is a rule. Someone has to be awake at all times. So there's always, you're always on guard. There's always a watch. And it's always night, and you're always tired, and you're always bored. But it's not just that. They'll have a place where they store ammo on the base. They need guards there, live ammunition. And you will catch yourself daydreaming. In fact, when you get bored enough, you'll play out the entire scenario in your head where somebody is approaching, and you had no choice but to get in a big gunfight with him and put him down. Oh, does it sound like I've played this out in my head? I've done it only about 10,000 times, as has anybody who's ever stood guard anywhere at any given moment. Now, I'm glad you hounded them, but this is in response to a security talk I had last night. I was talking about actually my church. They have one rent-a-cop in there. His face was stuck in his phone as he sat there the entire freaking time, never even looked up. There's security, and then there's good security. Don't think that those two are always or even often the same thing. They are not. All security is not equal, and security is one of those things. It's very, very difficult to find people with the self-discipline to do it well. And it's because nothing ever happens, right? For most people, nothing ever happens. So even if it's your first night and you're guarding a jewelry store, You've been hired as a security guard for a jewelry store, and it's your first night. I bet you will be pretty vigilant your first night. Every 20, 30 minutes, I bet you'll get up, you'll walk around the store, take a look outside, check the locks, make sure no one's breaking in. You'll be pretty good your first night. Maybe even your second. Maybe even your 30th night. On night 100, when nothing has happened for 100 nights, that's the night. Instead of making your rounds, you know what? Set a little alarm on my phone. I'll grab 20 minutes of shut-eye. I was up late anyway. The baby was crying. And that's when the worst thing happens. It's difficult to find security at any level with self-discipline. And don't think that that's an insult to any particular group or branch or anything else. Look, we had guys fall asleep on security before. And believe me, they really hated their lives when we found them. But we had guys fall asleep on security running. No, I never did, Chris. No, I never did. I was good about staying awake. I could make myself stay awake. But this goes back to my father. Remember, I am a world-class daydreamer because of my dad and the road trips. Remember, my dad, we would take these long road trips in Montana, and he did not allow us to listen to music because he didn't want music on. And he also didn't want to talk. So it was just me and there were no phones. It was just me and my mind. What? Chris said, you've never been so tired. You never fell asleep once. No, I never fell asleep on post. No. No, I never did that. But it's very common. It's extremely, extremely common. I could keep myself awake. And where guys doom themselves on post is they get comfortable. You need to stand up. And really, when you're really fading away, you need to move. And I don't care if that's walking back and forth. I don't care if it's five jumping jacks. What happens, though, is you're so exhausted, and you're normally exhausted from the day, at least in the Marine Corps. Again, you've been doing a shoot all day. You did a long hump. You did all kinds of stuff. Your body's tired and wants to sleep. So if you're on watch, I'm going to stay awake. I'll just sit here. All right, now I'm sitting here. My back's a little sore. It was a long hump today. I'll just lean back against this tree just for a minute. And then the next thing you know, you are being punched and kicked and they've taken your weapon away. And then you have to do push-ups until you vomit, and then they'll make you put on your gas mask and run wind sprints up the hill until you vomit again, and then you have to clean your gas mask, and then you have to do it all over again, and it's really not fun. What, Chris? Chris said that's preferable to the enemy finding you asleep. Well, yeah, if you found those punishments harsh, keep in mind that that's why they make the punishment harsh, because if you do that in combat, your buddies get their throats slit and they don't go home to their wives. So there has to be a severe punishment. Guys knew to live in mortal fear of falling asleep on post. We had one night, our company, Gunny, he went around and he tried to steal people's weapons. Your weapon has to remain on you at all times, including if you're in a sleeping bag. If you're asleep, you have to have it in there with you. And obviously that's uncomfortable. You did not want to have your weapon taken in the middle of the night. It was an ugly scene the next day. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about patsies. Let's talk about, these health rings. But first, I'm going to talk about something Don Lemon said about race. This would be offensive. Next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.